You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
I almost feel like there should be horns or... Wait, hold on.
Some explosions.
Almost, yeah, like the Price is Right theme or the something. Price is Right. Like, this is a monumental occasion, Doc. First of all, this is the people's first time hearing us in a long time.
That's correct.
And second of all, you know, we've kept the streets on fire for a very long time.
How long, Armand?
Well, according to one of our longtime listeners, it's been 7 years. We're coming up on 7 years, and this is our 300th episode.
300, yeah.
300.
Episode zero was at the end of 2010, but we started doing them consistently with Watch the Throne, which is like middle of August 2011, right?
Yep.
So here we are. Episode 300.
we sound so enthused.
So enthused. No, you know what? Oh, man. There's so much to talk about.
There's a lot. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, I've been, you know, wrapping up my summer with my kids. You've been, you know, traveling, been around the world and And
give me the remix at least.
My bad. Okay, you've been around. You've been around the world. My bad. You're right. That's my fault. So yeah, we're here. I'm Armand.
What are people listening to, Armand?
Clock Radio Speakers. What's going on, everybody? My name is Armand Wake Up, and you're listening to Clock Radio Speakers. I totally botched that. That lets you know how long we haven't done this show. I botched the intro. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. You can catch all previous 299 episodes. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're in the streets. That's the most important part. We're always in the streets, Doc. That was my throw to you.
I was just going to let that ride. I didn't know where you're taking that.
We're always in the streets. We are. They in the street. We in the streets. We gave you a style to run with. Now it's done with.
Every day, these jokes become less and less relevant to people listening to hip hop. It's great.
Oh my god. Oh man. Yeah. Have we not aged more like in the last 12 to 18 months? Like hip hop has just moved at such a rapid pace from what we have consistently done on this show.
Yeah, and we try to keep up with the kids, you know.
It's that, but then also at the same time, I feel like what people are doing now, we were doing in 2012.
I'm not trying to. Okay. You're going to do that. We had it first.
Nah, not that we had it first. Like okay. We just, you know, it, I guess it's good to like stick to your guns. Like, I mean, first of all, back then there weren't really any guns to stick to. Cause back then the only podcasts were what? YNAP, Comeback Jack, you know, like the only hip hop ones, only major hip hop ones. And now everybody's, you know, doing the Joe Budden, like they're doing what he's doing. And so, you know, one of our listeners, you know, complimented us for sticking to our guns and not turning into something that everybody else is doing. And I don't think we ever really tried to do that though, right? Like we never said like, all right, you know, what do the streets want?
Yeah. And right? we also never like sat there before a show and we never sat there and were like, okay, you take this position and I'm going to take this one because people are going to be crazy. All the controversial or crazy stuff we've said, that's just what we thought.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Doc, I would say in the last year, Doc, you and I have talked outside of the show more in the last 12 months than we have in the previous 6 years we've done this show. We literally would not talk until it was time to do the show. But I think now, like, our friendship has grown and we're just catching up with stuff that has nothing to do with the show.
Right. I mean, we still like don't talk to each other about like if there's an album that comes out, like we still don't talk to each other about like, oh, this is what I think. This is what I'm thinking right now. Like, I have no idea. Like when we sit down outside of what Armand posts on Twitter, I don't really know what he's going to say about a given like kind of music. But we talk about life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like the best dynamic of the show, I think. You know what I'm saying? So here's to another 7 years and 300. Can you imagine episode 600? Is that going to happen?
That'd be great.
Probably not.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yo, I don't want to review Drake's like 18th album, like episode six. We'll probably like we'll probably be holograms by that time.
Like, flying cars. No.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they thought. But it's clearly not going
to
happen.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to spend this episode trying to prognosticate and say, here's what's happening 7 years. Because like there's a question that somebody asked us about like what sort of asking us to look back at. And I want to get to this later. That like relates to, hey, what, you know, sort of compare like what you thought might have happened versus what did happen. And there's some stuff it's like, oh, I never saw that coming. So like, we're not going to sit here and be like, in the year 2025, because nobody knows. Nobody has any idea.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Oh, man. So we took some time off, like six weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
Time off for us in the summer is not unheard of. This was not exactly planned.
No.
It was more like life got crazy. I had to travel. I was gone two of those weeks, and then you had your kids and you doing school stuff. And But we saw some concerts.
We did.
So Armand, you went to the highly anticipated, was it the opening night?
Yeah, it was opening night. I'm upset, and I'll get into that. Yeah, opening night of On the Run 2.
On the Run 2. So you were obviously there for the Beyonce portion. I'm just kidding.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I kind of was. Like, I feel like I've seen Jay, and I feel like Beyonce is one of those people that just, I want to, you know, we talked about concerts on this show. Like, you kind of have to see Beyonce. Like, even if you're not a fan, you got to at least experience that, you know? So I was here for B. I was. I got free tickets like the day before the show. So shout out to my veteran plug who hooked it up with the free military tickets. I just had to pay a $15 processing fee. Got four tickets. So me, my homegirl, friend of the show, Priest, and his sister, we all hopped in a Kia and drove 2 hours to Cleveland. Hey, that rhyme. Kia and Cleveland. I can make that rhyme.
Walk us through.
Yeah. So first of all, it's a good thing for a stadium show. The Cleveland Browns Stadium, there are no bad seats there. So even though we were in the nosebleed, we weren't in like the super nosebleeds. We were like in the lower nosebleeds. But even people who were all the way up, it was kind of better for you to see that versus if you were on the floor. There was a lot that you missed because the stage is massive.
Yeah.
And you're basically, if you're up that high, J and B look like squiggly lines. With color depending on, you know, what they're wearing. And the screens are huge. So you're just watching the screens for the most part. The sound was phenomenal. Everybody sounded, I'll say the sound was great. There were some times that Jay was really low. Like when he was talking in between songs, he was low. And then they did a mashup of I Care and 444, which was fire. And I didn't know Jay was rapping 444 until I just recognized the cadence of the song. But it was really, really dope. Okay, so I missed Chloe and Halle, so I wasn't there for that because parking was ridiculous. And even walking to the venue was ridiculous. But when I got there, your man had just taken the stage.
Could it be the one, the only DJ Khaled?
Khaled. He took the stage. I missed the first maybe 8 minutes of his set. He did like a 30-minute set.
What does a 30-minute DJ Khaled set look like?
Let me just tell you, in those first 8 minutes, he blew through every single record his name has ever been attached to. Like everything except Brown Paper Bag. That was the only record that they didn't play. But We're Taking Over, I'm On One, like everything. He came out the gate playing his records. I mean, he started with All I Do Is Win and then played it again at the end.
I was just going to say, how do you not end with All I Do Is Win?
Exactly. No, I think he started with something like something light heat, but All I Do Is Win was super early and then he did it again at the end. So he ran through all his records. So I'm thinking like, all right, around this time we're getting into our seats. He's playing, you know, DJ Cool, Let Me Clear My Throat. Like, oh, you're clearly reaching now if that's the bag that you're in. But he, you know, he just played the summer records. So he did some Drake. He did some Boot Up.
He did a DJ set.
He did a DJ set and like danced. And he ended up, he had a DJ. DJ Khaled had a DJ.
So he did an aux cord set.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, the DJ set up with two turntables. Uh-huh. And the DJ was DJing for him. And then he ends up going behind the DJ booth, kicking the DJ out, and then DJing like parts of his own set. hilarious.
That's fantastic.
It was the DJ set. It was nothing that you haven't seen Funk Flex do, like when they would stream Summer Jam on, you know, what was the name of that streaming service? I forgot. But yeah, whenever they stream.
So he was basically a hype man for his own DJ set.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes. That was pretty much it. So he finished at about 8, and then there was a hour wait, and they started at 9, and I figure, all right, they're going to do 2 hours, 2.5 hours. They'll get done at 11:30, and I'm assuming curfew is at midnight, and that's exactly what they did. So they started about 9:02, 9:03. So they had it broken down into, I believe, 3 acts, and the acts were started by video. So if you've been to, if you went to the Even If I Lose album release party, you know that they stole my idea. By having video that was related to the songs. That's fine. They can do that. But they had the 3, it was like a movie. It was like a extra long trailer, really well done, really well shot. Ended up telling a story without having any lines, with it. It was really dope. Jay did about 65 to 70% of the show. Beyonce did not do a whole lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. It was mostly Jay. And Jay did not do anything that you didn't expect him to do. There's probably records that he did not do. I don't think he did I Just Want to Love You, but he did everything else. And Beyonce would come on, she'd do like a piece of a song, and then she would leave, and then Jay would come back. So there's clearly in the audience people who came to see Jay, people who came to see Beyonce, and people who are fans of both.
Yeah.
The biggest takeaway is that Beyonce fans still have not forgiven Jay-Z.
Oh, I see.
So there are some who have. So when they came out, but there was a clear distinction of like, you would hear the chatter like, okay, Jay, like, or when she would sing the songs about him cheating on her, like the crowd response was just different. You could tell that they were still holding on to a little bit of resentment, no pun intended, for that. So that was clear as day. Clear as day, bro. Clear as day.
I think, I almost wish Jay would like really like kind of have fun with that a little bit. I mean, maybe not have fun. Maybe that's not the right way to put it. But to, you know, like Beyonce does a song that's clearly about like cheating or struggles or something like that. And Jay comes out and does
99 you know, Problems.
I was going to say Young Girl off the Pharrell album, right?
Oh my God, don't do that. Doc, and that's our problem. We need a B-sides, Jay, because I'm like, yo, I don't need to hear PSA ever again, you know? But that's what you perform at a Beyonce concert. Hmm. You do Big Pimpin' at a Beyonce concert, you know? So it... All in all, the set list, the transitions were great. There was a transition of Deja Vu and the Show Me What You Got that was phenomenal. The transitions, for the most part, were really, really good. Beyonce did not do a lot of records that I felt like she should have did or could have did.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now, they didn't do anything off of Everything Is Love. They ended with Ape-ish, but they just did the hook. They just played the hook. And they let the instrumental play as they walked off the stage. And of course, they had movie credits roll on the screen. But now I'm seeing that they did Black Effect in, I think it was DC or something like that, which makes me very upset because I like Everything Is Love. I like that album. And I would have liked to have heard. I thought it would have been perfect to do because they started with all of their collabs. So they started with Me and My Girlfriend. And
they played Me and My Girlfriend.
Me and My Girlfriend was like the second record they did.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they started super early. People like that song, oddly enough.
Who are these people?
I don't know. Yeah, so they started with like all their old records. And then the second act was, it was 4 acts. So all their old records, then it was all their hits, then it was all the cheating stuff, and then it was the, hey, we're back together, everything is cool. I thought that that's where they would have done the Everything Is Love records, but they did not. But I do know that it reminds me of when I went to go see Glow in the Dark, and we saw it opening night in Seattle, and what the tour became clearly was not what it was the day that it started. As I saw more and more videos, Kanye Lupe and especially NERD, because at the time they were still tweaking Seeing Sounds.
Right.
So they were, and this is when Rihanna and Chris Brown were together. So Chris would come out on stage and dance to Spaz and yep. all that. That didn't happen for ours at all. So that's kind of the downside of going to a tour and opening night. Like, they're still trying to figure it out. All in all, it was okay. It was cool. And now that like that's become a thing for our listeners, like even me saying that, I'm like, I don't want to downplay it, because technically and visually it was amazing. The set was amazing. The pyro was amazing. Everything was really, really good. I just need a B-sides Jay-Z show because I'm a rap nerd. And I want a full Beyonce concert. Like, I want what she did at Coachella. Like, I want, there's so many Beyonce records that I felt like she could have did and she didn't do. And I didn't get any of those. So that's it.
Speaking of rap nerds.
Yes.
You were in Backpack Central.
Oh, I thought you were going to say about Chingy responding to my tweet about him.
Yesterday. Chingy, woke Chingy?
Yeah. Yeah. He tweeted me and said, let me be great.
Why are you hating on him, man?
I'm not hating. I've said that was my favorite Chingy. I prefer woke Chingy to give me what you got for a pork chop.
Oh man.
You know, if you're listening to the show and a guy ever told you to give me what you got for a pork chop, like I want to hear the story. Please add me at Armand Wake Up at CRS Podcast at @doc_beats.
At some point, like, I don't know, just trying to like explaining to future generations about like, okay, so there was this obsession with St. Louis, right?
Yes.
There was a guy with a Band-Aid on his cheek, but he was actually pretty good.
He was pretty good. There was a guy in his crew who had half of a mask.
That's right.
Rumor has it that he still walks around St. Louis with the mask on.
Don't do that.
I'm so serious. Actually, I'm so St. Louis, ask my tattooist.
You're so sincere. All right. So you went to Rap Nerd Heaven.
I did go to Rap Nerd Heaven. I did.
And you met one of your goats.
Yeah, one of my goats. So Columbus has a yearly hip hop festival called 2x2. So went there. Actually met Mickey Fax soon as I walked up. He was there, so dapped him up. Was a big fan of Heaven's Fallout, so I was able to tell him that. I feel like Mickey is another one of those rappers that really got lost in like the blog era.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing what Wale was doing and he was just as good. He just needed to perfect it a little more and he just was never able to turn that corner. Wale was probably a little more musical than Mickey, and that may be where like Mickey wasn't singing. And Wale was. And then Sky immediately walked by. Like, technically I didn't have to pay to get in. I could have literally just like walked in, my man knew him, shout out to Trav. Trav set up the meet. I met him, was able to talk to him, you know, tell him about my story and, you know, what his music, you know, did for me, and essentially have my fanboy moment. There's not a whole lot of people that I would fanboy over. Sky is one of those people. And he let me have that moment. So I'm grateful for that. We took the picture. I could have went home. Mm. I had homework. Like, I could have went home, but there's a rap nerd buried deep inside of me that just couldn't leave well enough alone. And I ended up being there the whole day. So I saw the freestyle competition. I saw.
Oh, wait. I saw the set list. You were there the whole day.
I got there because I took a photography class that was over at like 3:30
and I got
there at about 4:30.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a freestyle battle. It was a 16 bar challenge. So 8 MCs would just rap. Each round was 2 16s apiece. And then the judges would vote and the winner would go to the next round.
What did the overall winner get?
Like a little trophy. That was it.
Like something you'd get in like the third grade for a potato sack race? Yeah.
Yeah, it was it stirred up a lot of the prideful rap nerd in
me. Of course. Oh, I was gonna say, were you about to be like, all right, y'all, step aside?
I wanted to, but it was like I was talking to Trav and I'm like, could I do this? Like with my current style, could I do this? And Trav said yes. He was like, you know, what you're talking about is already heavy, but he said you deliver it in such a rappity rap style it would still fit in that environment. Like, because they were, like, some of them were battle rapping.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I haven't battle rapped in a good off wax. I've definitely sent shots on records, but battle rapping on stage, I haven't done that since 2004. But it was hip hop. It was Carpenter jeans and
Tim's?
Rap Minus Lives equals hip hop. No, dude had on fake Tim's.
Aww.
I don't know where you find fake Tim's at. And it wasn't hot. The weather was actually really good, but like, it's still July, my dude. Like, it's July. Like, just wear some New Balances, wear some Nike Runners, like something.
A little more casual is what you're saying.
A lot more casual.
We don't need to. So you're basically saying we don't need to look like we stepped off the set for State Property 5.
You definitely were at the Black Moon I Got You Open video shoot. You 100% were there. Yes, you were in State Property 5. You were. You went to Burlington Coat Factory and you got some State Property gear and you still have it. Lots of 4X t-shirts, lots of Carpenter jeans.
Oh, man.
Lots of shorts with the intentional rips in them. There's just a lot. Lots of fitted hats.
Well,
it smelled like weed. I haven't smelled weed in a very long time. Right. Again, I'm so far removed from this stuff. Like, to come back to it, it's like, oh, right, this stuff. But you know, it was cool. Elzai performed. He was second to last. He did not do Love It Here. He didn't do anything off of Witness My Growth. He did a lot of Elmatic. And he did a lot of Jericho Jackson. It was okay. He was clear, though. That's one thing I'll say. His stage presence was really good. And to hear rappers cuff the mic all day and hearing that all day compared to L and Sky, who were really, really clear, that was good. And Sky was really dope. There was just like 10 records I wish he would have done he didn't do. But I got some autographed vinyl and went on my merry way. So it was cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I went to Eau Claire's.
Yeah. So yeah. Where'd you go?
I was in Chicago. I did the whole super tourist thing. We went to a Cubs game. We did this. We did that, and then went up to Eau Claire's music festival there, which was good. Saw my guy Francis and the Lights. He performed like 3 times over the 2 days. It's a really they tried an interesting thing this year for a festival which I've never heard of before, which was basically. A lot of the individual artists confirmed, like, via their own social media who was coming, but they didn't release a lineup at all until you walked in the door, which means you couldn't plan for when to show up. It also means if you bought tickets, you didn't really know what you were buying.
You had to stay there the whole day.
The whole day. Yeah, I was pretty tired.
I'll say, how was that for you?
I mean, I'm old, but we were also very spoiled because we know Francis, we were in, like, the VIP area backstage, like the artist area. So, you know, I got to sit under like this like covered tent thing for, you know, whenever I didn't want to like go hear a particular set. So that was fine. Let's see, for hip hop stuff, I saw No Name.
Okay.
She was cool. She was good. Good live set. It's a really interesting, you know, I mean, it's Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and there was because we didn't have a set list. It's not like last year Chance performed, so there was a huge influx of hip hop fans, right? They want to see Chance. This year we didn't know, so basically it was like No Name performing in front of basically a lot of white people, and that's that's, you know, she actually remarked at one point something like, you know, it's not her typical audience, whatever, but I thought she did fine. You know, her I think her music actually lends well to like a festival kind of a thing, because like, I don't know, like if you're a No Name fan, I'm not trying to like, you know, hurt anyone's feelings. She doesn't have any like smash hits or anything, but like, you know, she had a band up there. Her stuff sounded fine. Like, she sounded good. Like, it's the sort of thing where if you're like walking past, you're gonna be like, oh, I want to hear more of that. You know what I mean? Like, it worked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good. It was a good weekend up there. Weather was good. It wasn't too hot, which is nice. We've been there weekends in the past couple of years where, you know, it was like 90 degrees or whatever, and you're sitting out in the sun and nobody wants that. But yeah, that was good. I don't know. Aside from that, just traveling for work. And yeah, man, but things are good.
Wonderful.
You know, slowly working on beats, sending you stuff.
You did send me some stuff. You did.
Dropbox continues to fill up slowly. One day you're going to be like, all right, this is the day.
One day.
It's all good.
Yeah, one day. It'll come. Oh, yeah, I got to talk to you about some stuff offline.
Or
yeah.
I'm just going to start releasing this stuff anyway.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Since we've
been
gone.
There's a couple records that you just cannot put out.
So since we've been gone, let's catch up.
Never mind.
I was trying to do the Kelly Clarkson, but I forgot the line.
Nope.
Okay, sorry. All right, let's catch up.
Your man, Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
Man, this summer is really Aubrey Graham summer.
Was it?
Okay, so last previously on Clock Radio Speakers. Right. We reviewed Scorpion.
Yep.
So since then, he has like broken every record for streaming possible.
Yeah.
His album is still number one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think, you know, like, everybody's breaking streaming records. Like, they're still trying to figure that out, so.
Well, that's true. That's true. Like, and
it's
that,
cool.
And then out of nowhere, your man gets a number one hit.
Right.
Within My Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this for a sec.
First of all,
mm-hmm.
I called that. I called it.
All right.
I said that was the record.
Sure.
Don't sure me.
let's put a caveat on this, which is like,
okay.
So this is actually what I want to talk about, right? Like, so when we grew up, right, sometimes a song became a hit because of, oh, that's a really dope song. But there were times where it'd be like, oh, that video really helped that song out.
Sure.
And you sort of accepted that was like a part of how it worked, right?
Sure. Yep.
Well, now we have a third way. We have this whole other way that songs can blow up, right? And that is by sort of a viral challenge.
Sure.
Right. In My Feelings didn't blow up because, like, immediately, like, when the album came out, it's not like people were like, that's the record, right? The record that got the most buzz initially was Nonstop.
Was it?
Yeah. It had the highest streaming numbers and all that. Okay. Now, In My Feelings blew up, went viral, and then it went to number one. And I don't know. I think that's totally valid. I think that's a fine way to go. Like, in this era that we're in where you count streams off everything and, you know, you can have a record go number one without getting any radio play, which mm-hmm. seems crazy, like, from our era, but that's the way it works now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you were right that In My Feelings, like, that you were definitely called, like, its potential, but, like, it's not like it. I don't know. To me, it's not like people heard the album and they were like, all right, In My Feelings, that's the record. Like, people heard the album and they were like, I like Nonstop.
There was a lot of focus on, we'll say this. I don't remember people saying, like, all right, Nonstop is the record.
Interesting.
There was a lot of, like, post Pusha T shenanigans that people were focused on. So yeah. It was the,
true,
I can't
true,
believe
true.
He's responding to, he actually does have a kid.
Right. And it was emotionless and all that stuff. That's true.
Yep. So it was that was the response when we last talked about the album. When I heard In My Feelings, I felt like it was good enough to take off, and I felt like they probably didn't want to get behind it because it sounded a lot like Nice for What. Same New Orleans bounce.
I don't think it sounds anything like Nice for
it's
What.
New Orleans. That's New Orleans bounce.
I mean,
the drums.
Kind of. Yeah, it is.
Kind of.
No,
kind
it
of.
Is, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't sound anything like, I mean,
it doesn't,
once you
but
get
I think
deeper into the song,
enough.
Like, okay, right. I guess that.
I agree with you. It's not like a carbon copy. It's not like when Lex Luger was giving the same beats to everybody
in
2011. But I think that the New Orleans bounce was enough for them to say, okay, we don't want to do this again. That may have been why it was buried on the second side of, you know, the second side. I don't know. But, you know, the single was the Michael Jackson record, right?
That's right. And then the other record they were going to push is Nonstop.
Is Nonstop. Okay.
Which is
and
why
I
Nonstop
just,
has a video.
Nonstop has a video. And now, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, I heard the Michael Jackson record on the radio.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so. they were going to push that. But, like, you know, In My Feelings got, you know, decided to do its thing. And so, like, that is Drake's third number one hit this year.
This year. That's crazy.
We're getting into, like, Usher Confessions territory now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. This is why I said it's the summer of Drake.
Yeah. yeah, it was.
Nice for What? Still, like, I don't know. So let me ask you this. Do you think that the fact that, like, do you think Drake and his team had anything to do at all with the In My Feelings challenge and how that kind of spread?
I'm one of those people. I tend to be very pessimistic about when stuff goes viral. So I would say yes.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I wanted to talk about that just, I mean, we sort of tweeted about it, but I know not everybody, of course, follows us on Twitter. Like, the idea, I know you should, the idea of marketing firms who specialize in viral stuff, like, that exists.
100%.
Like, Bad and Bougie, that wasn't spontaneous.
Right.
I don't know if people realize, but like Migos label hired a company who specializes in like getting hashtags and viral content to percolate and try to blow. Now you can't like, because it's viral stuff, percolate, right.
Percolate. Haterate and hollerate.
Yeah, right. You know, because it's viral and social media, you can't, it's not like 100% a lock that, oh, this is really going to take off. But like, they, like, I'd be stunned if Drake's crew didn't either seed it with some money, or like if they just didn't pay Shiggy outright, or if once it started to take off, they had a marketing company kick in that was like, oh, you have a really big following, for 20 grand, you should do a thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the first song to go viral with a challenge? Was that Black Beatles?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that, again, same idea, right? That was, I mean, this stuff is still kind of in its infancy.
Like, you had Paul McCartney doing the challenge. Like, come on.
I mean, come on. No, what I'll say is, I mean, I'm not as pessimistic as you. Like, I think there is a point at which it just gets out of your control.
I agree. That's the whole point. I agree.
But, like, your boy Will Smith had, like, a professional camera crew do his. And either your man is really bored, or that was comped in some way for him. Maybe he's really bored.
Did you listen to his Rap Radar review or interview?
I did not.
Okay. It's
I hear it's good.
It's good. He gets a little too, like towards the end, it's a little
A little what?
I'll just say I'm not 100% behind all the things, like all of his theology. But he has a right to believe whatever he believes in. I don't know what he's trying to do, because the whole thing was, I thought him and Jeff were going to go on tour this summer. I don't know what happened.
It's been 30 years since Parents Just Don't Understand.
Ah, there you go. So 80, yeah, but that was 88. Was that 88 or 89?
I don't know. That was a little before my time, but hold up. Yes, everybody, it wouldn't be Clock Radio Speakers unless I was typing on the computer.
You already know.
Released as a single in spring 88.
And you didn't do it? Well, I'm sure they did something. We just didn't see it. Yeah, I'm sure we didn't see it. But I thought he was leading up towards something, and I'm sure he still is. Like, yeah, that's the weird thing about Will Smith. He does like a controlled spontaneity where like it looks, you know, like his video that he did. I think it was the day after or the day before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. It looked like a movie. It looked like a commercial that somebody just shot on their iPhone and edited for him and put it, you know, condensed it to a minute long.
Right.
You know, is that cheating?
No.
Yeah. So I guess it's a matter of what you know, how you want to present yourself. I don't know. Didn't he go to like Brazil to do that? What remix did he get on? It wasn't Jaden's record. Was it he did the Icon remix, or he got on some record?
Yeah.
He went to some country, I think in Central or South America, and shot a whole video for his verse. So, I don't know. Shaman Big Willie style. Will 2K.
It's a millennium.
It's definitely a millennium.
And then Drake went over to the UK and made some freestyles where he sounds like he's from the Caribbean.
Yes. So, you know. Caribbean jams freestyles. He sure did.
Yep. People got really excited about that Behind Bars freestyle.
Did they?
For like a second.
I say, I thought those got pretty much panned for the most part.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He starts talking about tic-tac-toes and tat-tat-tat and all this. I thought people were kind of off of that. But okay. Maybe I didn't see everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything else about Drake?
No, I'm sure except
he's an unstoppable force at this point.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, is there any credence to these Pusha T tour dates getting canceled?
I mean, they did.
They did. I mean, not credence. What I meant by that is like, you know, he should be riding high, right?
I mean, yes. I think he probably waited a bit too long to go on tour. Like, his little moment kind of came and went, right?
It did.
At the very least, should have had tour like pre-sales up and running when the album came out. But that's a hard thing to do with this sort of like, you know, just in time, like we're going to do things on the fly, like kind of thing. You know, you can't plan. And so that's a side effect.
and completely, and Drake is 100% back with Nike. So the whole Adidas thing, it just killed it.
I mean, it had to.
Yeah, he's killed it. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's talk about something else, just because I feel like we spent a lot of time on Drake. I want to run. There's a lot to cover.
You mean Future put out a mixtape?
There's a lot of other things to cover.
He put out a mixtape. He apparently has an album coming out at some point soon. And his tour with Nicki, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just my local area, but that is far from sold out, my friend. Not even close.
So they announced your man Tekashi as one of the opening acts.
Yep.
They've got two other slots on the flyer. They shouldn't really be taking this long. If Nicki's album is coming out, was supposed to come out next weekend.
Right. Instead, it's 2 weeks. So
2 weeks. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah. they shouldn't be waiting to roll, like, announce the tour date, because that may be why people are waiting.
The tour doesn't start until like the fall, though.
Well, get them tickets. If they're coming with album sales, like, get them tickets sold.
I know.
Do what you can. Like, do what you can. Nicki is under that old. I'm learning now that, like, you know, like, you can't announce the announcement anymore. You just got to do it. You know, like, this has been a really slow rollout for an album that people are waiting to hate. People are waiting to hate this Queen album. They're waiting to trash it.
You think so?
Yeah, because her rollout has been really slow and really dramatic. And, you know, I mean, Cardi can have a baby, cancel on Bruno Mars at the last minute, and everybody loves it. Like, Cardi can do no wrong. But I do feel like her posting her bank statements is the beginning of the end.
Wait, who posted whose bank statements?
So, Cardi, I guess somebody was talking about her renting a car or something like that.
Right.
She posted her Wells Fargo statement, which included like a $500,000 withdrawal to buy this car. That was very telling to me.
What's telling about that?
I think, you know, I look at people like Meek Mill. I look at, you know, pretty much every prominent rapper, Drake, Chance the Rapper. They've gone through it on, well, Drake has gone through it on a major level. Drake is now coming back on his up climb from getting destroyed on social media for most of May and June. I feel like Cardi has made such, this is what happens with just people, period. Your bread and butter is on social media. And what ends up happening is your downfall comes from social media. And I feel like it's time for Cardi to take an L.
I don't know. I think like we live in the era of celebrity clapbacks. Like, I think there's a whole thing of that people enjoy. But I don't know. I also think, frankly, like, people want Cardi to win. I don't think she's done anything too crazy yet.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And then for Nicki, I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, she keeps getting featured on records that like blow up or seem like they're gonna blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she herself, like, her album's coming out in a week and a half.
Yeah, just got pushed back today.
What is her single?
Rich Sex. I just heard that on the radio the other day.
What is her single? Because, like, that's not... I mean,
Chun-Li's actually still getting a lot of play.
Right. The record was 6ix9ine. It would have been... Honestly, that would have worked better for her.
Yeah.
Why isn't that her single? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Nicki's doing. You know, she's in a tough place, though. Like, she's got to feel like she can't do anything right.
Yep, absolutely. She's in a lose-lose.
And some of that is sexism. Some of that is she we've talked about this on the show before, right? She takes herself really seriously.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, that's not going to work well anytime you go through a rough patch as an artist, right? Because not everybody always has hits, or not everything you do is perfect, right? But the more seriously you take yourself during all that, the harder it is, especially in this era of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, the whole point I thought of pushing it back was to get her, like, a hit that wasn't Chun-Li, right?
Yeah.
So, like, where are we at? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the record with Ariana, Bed, I think that'll be on both their projects, but, like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Oh,
I agree.
All right. What else is going on? You mean Meek Mill?
Yep.
Put out a mixtape or an EP, I should say.
EP, four. I think it's four tracks, right?
Four songs. The Wale special. And
the Wale special.
Well, no, I mean, you know, he's got the hype record. He's got the record, the stereotypical 1998 chick record. He's got the political record. He's got, you know, Meek Mill now. He's got all the like the types of records going. He just needs the, you know, if this were 98, he would just need like the Down South record with 8-Ball MJG, and then he would need the Timbo record, and he'd Juvenile, be all set.
Yeah.
Right, he'd be all set.
Yeah.
Go get Too Short for a verse. He'd be all it's the old Jay-Z Volume 2 playbook. In
first of all, the old is hilarious. No, you're right.
I don't know. The EP was all right.
My kids really like the Milladelphia record.
Yeah, I mean, God bless Swiss Beats, man.
Yeah.
He's trying. He's really
trying?
He's trying. He'd be like, I wish you could hire him as like a hype man, like just for whatever you needed.
I want him and Fat Man Scoop to have a hype man battle.
Imagine if he was your wedding DJ.
Who, Fat Man Scoop or Swiss?
Swiss Beats.
Listen, Swiss has to make a beat for me while because I'm coming down the aisle as well. Like, my wife's going to come down. I'm going to come down. And she can come down to Here Comes a Bride, whatever she wants to come down to, Here and Now, whatever. All My Life. Is there a new generation of, like a universally sappy song that, like, everybody wants to walk down the aisle to? Bryan Adams, Everything I Do?
if you were making mixtapes for girls when that song came out and you didn't put that mixtape on a girl, you're lying.
I never used that record.
That's a lie.
That might have been just like more of a like a white people thing. That's cool. Yeah.
You saying Bryan Adams didn't cross over? He didn't have any street cred?
He had no street cred.
Nobody Bryan gave Adams Bryan Adams a hood pass?
Yo, in 2018, Bryan Adams will 100% like do a video with like Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes will 100% give Bryan Adams street cred. Or at least try to.
Everything I Do It For You remix with Busta Rhymes would be amazing.
Listen, first of all, hold on. Have you... I'm sure you haven't because you're not really a fan, but did you listen to West Side Gun's Supreme Blind Tell?
I'll tell you my problem with West Side Gun. All his beats are too slow. All of them. Every single one. I love the aesthetic.
Look at you, beat man.
That's right. I love the aesthetic. Like, obviously I should. Samples, it's grimy. And I just want to like reach over to my Ableton Push and just, there's a knob for BPM. I just want to turn it up a little bit. It's like, man, so slow. So I skimmed it and I was like, no, I just can't. It doesn't move me in any way.
Go back. And I agree. I think Fly Guy was better, but go back and listen to the Busta Rhymes verse. 50-year-old Busta Rhymes rapping about cooking cocaine and snorting lines off of strippers.
Busta.
It's hilarious and it's sad at the same time.
Oh, Busta.
Make it your business. But Swiss, 100%. If he's my hype man DJ, I'm making him work. He's 100%. He might not even play records. I just need him to do sound effects and hype us up while we dance. We could 100% dance to explosions and whistles while he yells out Showtime. That would 100% work.
Right, he's yelling at everybody to get on the dance floor.
Get it on the floor. Get it on the floor. Alicia Keys is in the corner, like doing like her little like, I'm a mom bop, like her mom bop.
Her mom bop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So the idea of like what songs come down the aisle to. I mean, we went retro with ours. Like we just went old school. It was fine. Like Marissa came down the aisle to Etta James At Last.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
classic staple.
It's classy.
Yep. Yeah, she DM'd me when I posted International Players Anthem on my stories like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And she talked about how, you know, you guys wanted to come down to the aisle to that. And I was like, well, y'all was waiting. Y'all should have.
I mean, I told you the story for that, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, I told, I was like, I was around when Doc was trying to figure that out.
Right. So what we did is we were introduced for the first time as Mr. and Mrs. to what I did is I took the sample, right? So the original Willie Hutch record is playing. Mm-hmm. And then we timed it. So then right as we were like walking out, the beat comes in and the beat drops.
So you skipped Andre's verse and you went straight to Pimp C?
That's right. Except it was the instrument. Don't worry.
Okay.
Just I wasn't trying to have my grandma hear Pimp C in my wedding day.
Yeah. Mom and the choosy love. I never went out. Yeah, that would have been really bad.
Right. Grandma's just really like, what is he saying? Like, nah, it's that? Okay, grandma.
Yeah, rubbers. Like, yeah, that wouldn't have been.
Nope. Meanwhile, Marissa's in the corner just like making like the slashing motion across her throat. Yeah. Like,
abort. X-nay on the Pimp C. Hey.
All right.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
What else happened?
I don't know. You got the list, bro.
I got a list here. I want to jump around because we're talking about some. Actually, I'm trying to keep this.
You want to jump up and get down?
Jump up and get down. Did you see Tyler, that? The creator.
Yeah, I was going to. Did you hold on real quick? Did you see that Color Me Bad fight?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 2018 thing or was this a?
Yeah, they were performing and I think two of the members got into a fight on stage.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Like
during I Want to Sex You Up, I believe.
No.
You can't perform. Like, first of all, the concert had to have been no longer than 15 minutes.
I'm guessing it was either a thing where it's like a state fair or something, and like, you know, they always get like old acts to come and play. Like, actually, so in New England, they don't have one state fair for each state. They have what's called the Big E, which is like basically it's a mega state fair for all states in New England. And mm-hmm. they always have like clearly like artists who are, you know, past their prime a little bit who come and play. More State and the Time are playing up at my.
I'd have went to that.
Well, it's this year.
It's oh, well, then go.
I might go.
Yeah, you should go.
Because if nothing else, you know they're going to put in work.
Absolutely. That's the thing about those groups. Like, they're not getting booked crazy. Number one, they're not getting booked crazy. But number two, they come from the era where that's where your bread and butter was.
Right.
So they always put an emphasis on having a good show. Absolutely. I went and saw The Temptations when I was like 9.
Yeah, same idea.
But like their showmanship never left me. Right. They were on it. This year at the Ohio State Fair, we got TLC and En Vogue.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good. I didn't go. I was doing something. I had a prior engagement.
Is En Vogue? They're all good. Like, they're back. Like,
yeah, I think it's all four of them. Yep. Dang, I should have went because that was my chance to get with Cindy. Oh, Cindy. Oh my God.
I thought you. Wait.
No, not Dawn. I mean, Dawn was.
No,
Dawn
don't was, do this.
No, hold on. Dawn was beautiful, but Dawn was more lusty. Cindy was like the girl that you took to your mom.
Oh man. The slut shaming that's happening in real time
on
the show.
Don't do that.
Oh no.
Don't do that. We're not here for
that. We're not here for that. So Color Me Bad.
Anyway, Color Me Bad. Jesus. If you look up Color Me Bad fight on YouTube.
Oh
it's
no.
It's there and all its pristine.
Was somebody shouting World Star while they were fighting? No.
I don't know if Color Me Bad's audience knows.
Now you don't think it's a crossover? So it could be like a state fair thing, or it could be this thing they do now. And I can't believe you and I haven't gone to one of these. I think this would just be us accepting how washed we are, is where it's like all the groups you remember from the 90s all performing on like one set, and they all just come out and do like 20-minute sets.
They have a Cincinnati music festival. The Roots were just there this weekend. That's what they have. It was like Charlie Wilson. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? They do this for like groups of the 90s. So it'll be like, you know, all like, it'll be like Jagged Edge, Next. You know, like all the, like they just all come out and do like all their hits and they do like 30-minute sets and everyone's real happy. And it's like five groups on one tour. You've seen those before, right?
First of all, Yeah. Because they had one here. It was like Drew Hill.
Right.
Next, maybe 12, Yo-Yo, you know, it was a bunch of just random people thrown together. Nah, I'm good, but no, I know exactly what you're talking about. So what is that going to happen in like 2029? Like
it'll be like SoundCloud rappers on tour.
Yeah, Mac Miller, Juice WRLD, Lil Uzi Vert. Like, is that who? Juice WRLD is one of the rappers that my daughter put me onto.
Let me tell you how mad I am, at Juice WRLD,
bruh. Talk about it.
When I heard Sting, Shape of My Heart, a.k.a. Nas, The Message.
I was hurt.
I was hurt. It hurt my soul, man.
It really bothered me. It bothered me so much. I played the message for my kids. I played Save from My Heart, and I played the message 100%. It was on one of the playlists. So the last time we had a show, I was asking, where are the Rhapsodies? Where are the blogs? Yeah. And you said, it's in the curated playlist.
It's in the curated playlist.
So what I did was, whenever I would go run errands and my kids were in the car with me, we would do what was called Lit or Skip. And just in the style of Pump It or Dump It, I would go through the playlist and I would ask my daughter if she heard the record, because a lot of it she had heard. But all right, let me know if you like the song or if you don't like it. And we got to Juice WRLD and my daughter like kind of perked up. So I was like, oh, okay, you know this song. She's like, yeah, I love this song. So I played it and I immediately started yelling. No, this is what we're not doing. We're not sampling Shape of My Heart. And you're not wailing talking about killing yourself because your girlfriend broke up with you. You're 15. You'll be okay. I had a friend who killed himself over a girlfriend when we were in high school. You'll be okay. Don't do that.
Did you play the message and then explain the subliminal shots that were happening?
I didn't get that deep because they're not. What happened is the there's no edited version of It Was Written on streaming services.
Oh, no.
So like, oh, Nas, fine. You know, how, wait, Nas was they? Letting that go. Huh?
How old are they?
Daughter's 12, son's 9.
Okay, he can't hear, but she's 12. She's 12.
I've seen her group chats. Like her friends are pretty crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I let it go, but it was like, ugh, this is a lot. All right. So I only played like the first verse. But they weren't moved. They like Sting though.
They didn't hear Fake Thug No Love, and they were just like, yo. No.
First of all, my kids are never saying yo in response to a song that they like. That is me, and that is old man dad. That's not happening.
Okay.
That's not happening. But by the end of the summer, just so happened, my son knew all the words to the Juice WRLD records. Like, okay, you're playing things for him. Okay. Got it.
That's, man, see, that's like, okay, you're grounded. That's the response to that.
Yeah. I wasn't happy.
No, that's tough. I'm trying to think, like, I never would have thought, I mean, I guess I should have, but there's a list of songs that, like, as we get into even deeper into, okay, we're just going to remake everything territory, which is how it comes. I mean, it happened to us too, right? I mean, I'm sure, like, if you're, like, for me, it was kind of different, right? Because, you know, my parents being very, 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 like, late baby boomers who are both very white, didn't exactly listen to a lot of stuff that then got sampled by hip hop. But I can imagine if you grew up with parents who listened to a lot of, say, 60s and 70s soul and pop, or even like disco and dance and 80s R&B as well, then your parents, when we were growing up in the 90s, would hear the latest record from one Sean Puffy Combs and just cross their arms and go, nah.
I'll never forget my first time recognizing that something got sampled was, or my dad having a conversation with me about samples was the Curtis Mayfield sample on Mace's Tell Me What You Want.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, where he was like, oh, that's Curtis Mayfield. And then he played me the record. And I was like, what is this? It's the same beat. And he broke down what a sample was. And then we went back and that's what I did with my kids this summer too, because my kids love Nice For What, particularly my son. I played them X Factor and they like lost their mind. That feeling is always dope.
All right, so where were we?
I don't know.
All right.
We were talking about Meek and then we just went all over the place.
Your man Tyler the Creator.
Tyler, yes. Oh, because we were talking about Color Me Bad. Yes, Tyler.
He keeps putting out, I guess you call them freestyles.
Freestyles, just, demos.
Just keeps picking records that he's like, yeah, let's put it out. Let's do it. You could put and a just, little like EP together of this stuff at this point.
Yeah, just throw it on YouTube and just let it go.
Any one of them really stuck out to you?
No, nothing other than Potato Salad.
Potato Salad's cool.
I think Tyler just put his foot in that verse.
I mean,
his verse is crazy.
He did. I kind of need ASAP to like step up a bit.
That was a good ASAP verse.
It was a good ASAP verse of 2018, but like, I don't know.
No, I hear you. I feel like ASAP. A lot of these dudes are ASAP sons, and they've just like they've lapped him in some other regards.
Tyler is definitely like, if he really wanted to, he could put out like an extra like lyrical, like like he could put out a real serious, like quote unquote traditional hip hop album anytime he wanted to.
Tyler to me has a very, it's a really jerky body of work.
Yeah.
You know, where it could be a lot better than what it is, and but the like the good stuff is really, really good.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Flower Boy and Cherry Bomb is that they weren't as angsty as like Wolf and some of the other stuff.
Right.
I think as he's getting that stuff out of his system, and I'm going to continue to say this, like he has the potential of making a flawless album.
Mm.
Like he really could. He does a lot of things well. If he really sits down and doesn't get in his own way, like Cherry Bomb would have been that album had he gotten it mixed and mastered properly. And then Flower Boy, there was a couple of records that I wasn't crazy about, but it was still really good. So I think he's right there. He's right there to do something phenomenal. He's got a lot of sons too. Tyler's got a lot of kids.
I mean,
running around here.
It's kind of crazy. Like Odd Future, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having a conversation with my boy the other day. I don't know if this made it to Clock Radio Speakers, but like, and maybe it did, but like Kanye has like grandkids. Like Cudi is old. That's one thing I learned this summer. Cudi's old.
Yeah.
Cudi's like an OG to a lot of kids. And I didn't even realize that because, you know, we were, a kid named Cudi turned 10 years old, I think a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So that's crazy. Like, yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, Lil B's got kids. Soulja Boy has a bunch of kids running around here. Chief Keef's got kids. You know, the kids, when we remember they were kids, like they've got kids.
Babies having babies, man.
Babies having babies. Yep. Crazy.
Let's see what else. Oh, speaking of
Do you want to hear a Tyler and ASAP project?
Yes.
I said that's the Clock Radio Speakers album.
I want to hear Tyler in general right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd just be curious in general. Like I actually have no idea what it's going to sound like. Right? Mm. Like is it Tyler's picking the beats and they're rapping over it? Is it they're working together? Like how that comes together is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure, right? I mean, ASAP can rap, but he's often distracted or not super like 100% into hip hop at any given point in time. And he is super up and down, but he's talented. Mm-hmm. And Tyler is killing everything right now. So yeah, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Speaking of Odd Future though, did you hear the new album from the internet?
Yeah, I did.
I like it.
I did.
Uh-oh.
No, here's my problem is I always want them to do more of what they did on Feel Good.
Mm.
And that kind of just gets in the way for me because Feel Good was just phenomenal. Like, what was their album after Feel Good? I forgot.
Ego Death. Ego Death, yeah.
Ego Death was cool. Had some joints. It's got Curse, which might be my favorite internet record.
That has Girl on it, right?
Yup.
Yeah.
Yup. It's got records. Girl's a phenomenal record. It's weird. Like, I wanted more melody. It just seemed like there was a lot of drums, bass guitar, and Sid, and not a lot of melody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I wanted some melody. I'm always, the thing I love about Odd Future, and this is from Tyler, like, just their keys, their chord transitions. And it's probably because I'm a Neptune stan. I didn't really get a whole lot of that as much as I wanted to on this album. So, but you liked it.
Yeah, I did. This sounds like Damning with Fame Praise, but like, it's just good music, like to put on, like ride around to, or like you could put that album on in the background at a barbecue. You'd be fine.
I agree. I played it while I was cleaning the house.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Neptune stands.
Yes.
Your man Childish Gambino.
Yes.
Put out two singles.
Yes.
About the summer.
Yes.
They're fine.
I didn't hear either one of them.
They're good. They're fine. They're not blowing anybody away. They're fine.
Yo, our fans are killing us.
They're fine. But like the thing is, like Childish has not been at, okay, he's just making good records. Like Awaken My Love was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had This Is America.
So basically, which is weird. Like I was just talking to somebody about this today. This Is America as a song on its own is really mid.
Yes. Like, yes, the video.
The video completely makes it.
Yeah, of course.
But I guess that's the point, right?
Yeah.
But if that's the point, then why do you send it to radio? Because you have to?
Because you can.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. He seems to try, you know, he seems to be in that stage kind of like what Pharrell at one point thought he was going to be, like mid-80s Michael Jackson updated.
Yes.
And sometimes Childish, like these records, Childish is kind of trying to be in that vibe a little bit. And I'm like, yes. These are fine. But like, I don't know. I think he can do more. We'll see. They're fine. They're not blowing anybody away. Like, I think that's kind of the interesting thing. It's like artists put some stuff out and I don't know. Sometimes I'm surprised when stuff takes flight and when some stuff doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
Like these Chance singles.
Yes.
Chance is like a huge name, right? And only one of these records, like I Need Security, which is the one that was sort of the fan favorite or whatever. That's number 60 on the charts, which, you know, for a record that was just sort of released in the middle of nowhere and, you know, would be very difficult to play on the radio because it's a sample. It's a sample of Jamie Foxx singing F.U. Like 10 years ago, if I told you a record that fit that criteria charted at number 60, you'd be like, wow, that's a hit.
Yeah.
But the way that streaming works now, for Chance to put out four singles kind of in the dead of night, do kind of pull a Drake and like one of them gets to 60. That's kind of interesting. That's kind of a subdued reception, right? I don't know. Me personally, like I was sort of like, nah, these are okay. These are cool.
Yeah.
But he kind of sounds like he's moving away from that coloring book sound a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really hear. I don't know. We'll have to see what, you know, it seems like he's got, this is not all we're going to hear from Chance, but I don't know. Did you think that Chance was at a point in his career where if he puts something out, it's going to get played a lot because he's Chance? Or do you think apparently what has been proven, which is, yeah, people will play it, but like he still has to like put in work.
Yeah. It's interesting. We're like, we're getting more and more to that place where just music isn't going to cut it. It has to be accompanied with something. And it was just four singles. And I think people listened to them and people felt a way about them, good, bad, indifferent. And they moved on. And I guess that could have accomplished a few things. Like, hey, guys, I'm still rapping. Hey, guys, you know, be on the lookout because something is coming. You know, and you said this offline, like, hey, guys, like, maybe one of these will stick.
Right. Maybe, you know, if one of these sticks, then maybe you push it a little bit more. Maybe you try to get a video out and extend its life a little bit. And then,
yep,
you know, maybe something
happens.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Eh, yeah. I didn't hear any. I heard in my feelings. I heard I might need security. Yeah. I didn't hear anything else. Yeah.
Let's see. We're sort of skipping around everywhere, but that's kind of, we're trying to catch up on all the things that we missed.
We missed a lot.
We're getting close here. Oh man, let's keep it in Chicago.
Okay.
R. Kelly.
Oh boy. I feel terrible for R. Kelly.
You feel terrible for him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Why?
I'm not the guy. It's weird. Like I'm trying to explain it. Like I'm not ever going to justify what he did because I saw the tapes. And even then, like, you know, somebody that you and I both know from Chicago definitely was verifying all of that stuff long before it went public. But it's like, man, like that was one big, I need help, but not from you. I don't know. I just feel bad for him. I can't even articulate it. It's like, man, that's terrible. You did some terrible things, you know. You still have some terrible ways of thinking. There's some ways that you think that you're not willing to come to grips with yet, but that shouldn't excuse me from not feeling bad for him, not having empathy for or sympathy for him. So I don't know. But did you listen to the 19 minutes on?
I couldn't listen to all of it. I couldn't. It was depressing. It was infuriating.
Yes. Yeah.
It
was depressing.
I mean,
the beat was cool.
The song was about as long as one of Kanye's projects from the other month that I was.
Bruh. Oh my goodness.
It's So let me say this. Like, he is sort of, and I'm not going to phrase this well because I'm doing this off the top, so I apologize if I don't get this right. But like, he is, he's sort of exhibiting the behavior of that, like, I have seen before, like, both personally and like just in life in general, where it's like he is apologizing while not apologizing because he himself has, like, he can't reckon with what he has done. It's not right. Even right. I don't know. I mean, it very well could be that he just really thinks that he's done nothing wrong, right? I mean, there, and at times on the song he goes into that where he's basically saying, "You knew my rep. You brought your daughters around anyway. What did you think was going to happen?" Which, good God, man. I mean,
yeah, that was terrible. That was like, terrible.
Oh my, like, whoa.
That was terrible.
You know, he's trying to sort of play the victim card, and
yeah,
but you can't play the, you can't, I mean, sure you can, cause he did, but like, it is not effective to say, look, I had a really screwed up childhood. I'm a victim of sexual abuse. And like, you can't say that on a song called I Admit and then not pair that with the, like, I understand the, like, the terrible things that I have done and I'm deeply ashamed and I want to make amends. Like, he's not apologizing. Like, you can't make the first half. He's trying to make the argument that he is the way he is because he was sexually abused as a child. But you can't do that and then not also say, I understand it was wrong. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And that's actually most of the song. He's kind of rambling. He's going after that reporter in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Throw some shots at Tom Joyner and John Legend and Steve Harvey. Then he goes to church. And then he goes right back to dissing people right after. I think that's probably what makes me feel bad for him. Because it's just like, you just, like, so, you just refuse to.
Yeah, I get, like, do you think he knows that what he did was wrong?
100%.
You think he knows that?
Yes.
You think he just can't come to grips with what that actually means?
I don't think he's willing to embrace all that comes with that. Like, he'll get to the if I did it stage of his life before he passes.
Isn't that where we're at? I mean, the song's called I Admit.
But he didn't admit to anything. OJ was like, look, if I killed them, this is what I would have done. Oh, and so, then I would have went here.
So his song will be called If That Video Was Real?
Yes. It's pathetic that I'm laughing at this, but I just have a morbid sense of humor. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm trying to make you laugh at it, so it's my fault. But like, no, really, like, it just,
it's bad, dude.
It's so bad. It's terrible. It's so terrible. Bad. And it's also one of those things where it's like, so here's, I guess, my thing. It's like, if you're not going to actually own up to this, like, what is the point of this song?
You are losing money.
This song is not helping him. No one's like, it's not like he's going to get booked for the Illinois State Fair because someone heard the song and said, well, I think he's sorry. Like,
yeah, he's got to go away for a while. And he would have had to have done an interview. Like, there's a whole campaign that he probably would have had to do. But I don't think he is important enough for people to set that up for him.
He's going to have to do. Yeah, right. He's going to have to do it on his own. And very clearly, like, he does not have anybody in his camp who tells him no.
Absolutely.
Because they would have heard the song and somebody would have said, OK,
no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This stays in the vault forever.
Yep. I agree.
Right. It's like, I mean, there's actually a really cynical way where you could go, look, if you really wanted to try to like start to rebuild your image, the first thing is you're going to need what used to be like the Barbara Walters interview. I don't know what the equivalent is now, but like,
were Zane Lowe?
No.
No, Zane Lowe's trash.
Who's going to shoot him with really like soft focus and butter lighting and like have fake tears rolling down? Like, where, you know, where it's like,
boy,
but you know what I mean? Where he's where he's saying, you know, where he talks about his traumatic childhood, which I'm not even trying to dismiss, but like he brings that up, but very clearly is doing that thing where he's trying to like use that as an excuse. And that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. It's terrible for, oh man, there's just so many terrible things about all this. It's so uncomfortable. And like, he's a laughing stock.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's bad. So bad.
I agree.
That, you know, when we talk about things that like, when we have to explain to future generations, people are going to be like, So he put out a he produced and wrote a song for a teenage girl called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. And we're gonna be like
Drake put out a song about molding a teenager. What was the name of that? What was the name of that song? Teenage Dream? What was the name of that Drake record that was on Views?
Teenage Dream. I believe that's a play on the first of all, that's kind of a play on the Katy Perry song, Teenage Dream.
Yeah.
It's Teenage Fever, right?
Teenage Fever, right? Yeah.
But that's like the fever you felt like when you were a teenager, not fever for a teenager.
You sure?
I thought that was about.
Don't I thought that was the prelude like to Georgia Smith. Fever?
No. Oh, I don't think so. No.
Oh. Okay, maybe so.
All right, that's enough about R. Kelly.
That's enough.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.